God, thanks for these students, and I pray, God, that as they move more and more toward people of influence, God, I pray that they would follow your influence in their lives. And God, I pray that you'll be with our session today as we take a look at this extremely important concept of mentoring. So God, help us, be with us, keep us awake, alert. And God, I pray that it might be a blessing, not just for today, but God, for the rest of our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that you've heard a lot of us talk about in DCC 101 last week, you heard me talk about a little bit as far as the mentoring aspect here at the college. We wanted to let you know some background as far as mentoring and what that really is and what that looks like. Usually we do this at the end of a school year, and last year we decided, hey, we're gonna put this up front so that you know what's going on and what's happening to you and the direction that we're headed. A couple of years ago, I was riding with a graduating senior, and we were going to pick up a truck or something like that, and I was riding along, and I just started asking him some questions. And he looked over at me and he said, "Man, you're mentoring me right now. I mean, you're moving into mentoring mode." And I said, "Well, how did you know that?" And he said, "Look, I've been trained. I know these things." So a part of what we want to talk about is just the flow of what's going to happen here at DCC and how vitally important it is for mentoring to take place. I think I shared with some of you I've shared with all of you about my oldest son, the behemoth. And, you know, my oldest son, when he was like in the sixth, seventh grade, there was an incredible, incredible young man named Brandon Forsyth, who played for Louisville Farmers the couple of years that they went to state, won state in high school football. He was a tight end. In fact, he's going to come and speak a little bit later on this semester. Tall guy. I mean, you'll see when he comes. He's just built. But, I mean, he was extremely popular in school. But even as a high school student, he chose to mentor my son. I will be forever grateful that a young man like him would mentor my son. Even today, my son is in youth ministry primarily because he interacted with Brandon Forsyth. He learned mentoring from Brandon. And when Brandon was a student here, he was a strong, strong mentor. So there's a lot of things that we want to get across to you, because a few years ago, a student wrote me a letter, and he just said, "Look, I need a mentor. I need somebody to help me, to walk with me, somebody to give me some direction, somebody I can talk to, somebody I can share my life with, somebody who will speak into my life, somebody who I can go to." That really resonated with me. And so I thought we needed a mentoring program here at DCC so that it doesn't just happen sometimes, but it's intentional. In other words, it is something where students don't fall through the cracks, where students have an opportunity to have somebody they can talk with, somebody who can speak into their lives. And that is extremely important. We've gotten to the point now where almost, I've written articles for magazines, higher education magazines. I've done a variety of that because what we found out is across the board, that doesn't happen in higher education. The idea of every student being mentored in some way, form, or fashion. So guys, this is so important. By the way, that student who wrote me a letter quite a few years ago, he is now vice president for student development, does exactly what I do, up at Lincoln Christian University. And he is doing mentoring with others. Look, I never had a mentor. I never had a mentor. And that to me was this great tragedy. I wanted somebody to help me out, somebody to walk along beside me, but I never really had that. So let me ask you guys, how many of you have ever had a mentor? How many of you have had a mentor? Okay, what did that person look like? Just say it. What did that person look like? Or raise your hand, I'll point to you. What did that person look like? Yeah.
Trustworthy.
Okay, what else? Those of you who raise your hand, what did that person look like, that mentor? Yeah.
Fun.
It's a fun person. Okay. What else? Yeah.
Passionate.
Yeah.
Experience.
They had experience that you wanted, that you needed to hear about. Okay. Anybody else?
Dependable.
You know, they were there. When you called them, they picked up. Okay. They answered. Anybody else? What?
Love.
That they loved you unconditionally. Didn't have to agree with everything you were doing, everything, you know, all the ideas, but they loved you and you knew that they loved you. Yeah. Somebody else over here.
Listened.
Yeah, they listened. And let me just mention, guys, that one of the major differences, and please follow this, because when I was sharing with the faculty and staff here, when we initiated mentoring, this was one of the more difficult things. It sounds easy, but it was one of the more difficult things to deal with. Here's the difference. It's the listening. You know, the difference, there's a major difference between discipleship and mentoring. Discipleship, somebody walks in, if I'm going to disciple you, okay, which I wouldn't do, but if I was going to disciple you, then it would be my agenda. Hey, today what we're going to talk about is life at DC. You know, that it would be my agenda. You get that? But mentoring is different. Mentoring is saying, hey, tell me about your life. Tell me your story. You know, what do you want to talk about today? What questions do you have for me? Do you see the major difference, guys? Because if, like right now, I'm discipling you. It's my agenda. You know, you guys walked in, it's like, okay, what are we going to talk about? Well, whatever Worley wants to talk about today. We're going to talk about mentoring. That's on the agenda. That's discipling. When you walk into the classes, the professors are discipling you. That's why it's so difficult, frankly, for professors to switch over to mentoring because they are so used to discipling. And so mentoring is a difficult thing because you listen. You primarily listen, okay? What else do you see in mentors? Those of you that raised your hand, what did you see in them that you wanted them to be your mentor? Godly. They were godly. So a part of being godliness is that you could trust them. Yeah. Okay. What else? Anybody?
Encouraging.
Yeah. remind me of your name.
Cal.
I was going to say Cal. I really was. Okay. Come up here, Cal. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter, he said, we loved you so much. We treated you as a father. And listen to this. Don't watch Cal for right now. Over here. Okay. I know he's a manly man. Okay. But here's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, we loved you, the people at Thessalonica, we loved you like a father. And listen to what he says, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God. Now, those three words in the Greek, Cal, here's where I'm going to need your help. Okay, the first word, encouraging, means standing out front and saying, Cal, come on over here, man. You could do it.
Okay.
All right, way to go. So that's encouraging, standing out front saying, come along. Now, comforting is parakletos. It's a Greek word meaning walking along beside and going, man, it's going to be okay. What? Stay with me.
Okay.
It's going to be okay, man.
Right.
It's going to be all right. Okay, now. The next word urging is like a swift kick in the pants. Boom. Okay, I'm not going to do it. All right, you can go sit down. All right, so Here's the deal. I mean, that's what Paul is saying. Like a father encouraging, standing out front saying, come on, or comforting, walking along beside, or the third is urging, swift kick in the pants. Now, here's the question. How do you know when to use which one? How do you know? How do you know when to encourage? How do you know when to comfort? How do you know when to urge? Swift kick in the pants. How do you know that? It's not a rhetorical question. Yeah.
By knowing the person.
Yes. Yeah, you've got to get to know that person. And not only that, but that person has to be willing for you to get to know them. They have to be willing to share. Look, in last week, you guys had your mentoring group, and probably they came, you know, the mentor said, hey, share your story. Well, you have to be willing to be able to share your story and to get that out there. And then that person has to get to know you. And so the task, really, the joy of the faculty and staff, what they're really looking forward to is getting to know you. But in those mentoring groups, there's method to the madness. In those mentoring groups, it's really important for you to be able to share your story. And not only that, for the mentors to listen. How else? How else do you know which one to use at which time? You know, how else do you know? Any other way? You know, how else do you have, what else do you have to know? Yeah, through experience, working with them on a consistent basis. That's why the mentors are going to work with you guys all year. They're going to watch you. They're going to interact with you so that they can see, hey, this is the way it is. And guys, what I want you to do is pick up not only that you're involved in it, but I want you to learn from it. Learn from that concept of mentoring. You know why? Because you're going to be mentors, and many of you already are. And it's a big part of it is, Alexis, you know, you're talking about you got to get to know them, right? But the other part is, guys, that you've got to take your eyes off of yourself if you're going to mentor somebody else. And so often we have our eyes on ourselves about me, what I want, what I like. And if you're going to mentor somebody else, you know the thing that I loved about Brandon Forsyth is that it wasn't about him. It was about a seventh grader who he thought, I need to pour my life into this kid. That he has great potential. And so, guys, look, the other benefit as far as you're concerned is, look, When you become a mentor, who are they going to look to? You. You know what? When I became a mentor, I got better. You know why? Because I knew they were watching me. So it changed the way I talked. In my neighborhood where I grew up, boy, we had cut down fights. You know, we just rip on each other and stuff like that. And, you know, it was all about cut down fights. Well, I had to watch. I had to stop the cut downs because it was hurting people around me. And my mentee, the person who was watching me, following me, mimicking me, it started changing me. You guys get that? That's a side effect of mentoring. When you start mentoring somebody, it starts changing you. Let me give you an example. I shared about Paul saying, as a father, encouraging, comforting, and urging. Another passage of Paul. We're going to talk about this in DCC 101, but he says this. Listen to what he says. This is unbelievably powerful. He says to the people at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says this, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. That's huge. That's huge. The Greek word there, for example, is mimetai. We get the English word, what? Mimic. Mimic comes from that mimetai. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Now look, if Paul had said, hey, follow the example of Christ, If he said, follow the example of Christ, we'd have had a cop-out. Well, nobody can follow Christ because he's perfect, so there you go. All right? But Paul doesn't say that. He says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Now, let me ask you guys. Could you come up here one by one and look at the people here and say, follow my example. Follow my example. Mimic me. Look at me. See, and if you can't, then you need to get to that point. Because, by the way, people, when you become a mentor, they're going to look at your life. And one way or another. You know, if you get married, you have kids, guess what? You become a mentor. They're going to start looking. Your kids are going to look at your life. Whether you want them to or not, they're going to look at your life. I'm going to talk a little more about that in DCC 101. But guys, that's the you know, and so now all of you are going, I don't want to be a mentor. Yeah, man, because it makes you a better person when people are watching you, when they're taking a look at your life. You guys get that? It makes all the difference in the world when somebody can say, I want to be like Lindsay. I want to be like her. And guys, we get to that point. All right, let's take a look. That's the huge aspects of being mentored and being a mentor. So guys, it changes everything. You start taking your eyes off of, and that's why we really push mentoring. We push that. Number one, because you need to be mentored, and secondly, you need to mentor other people. Because it raises your game. I mean, when there's a high school student who looks at you, Haley, and says, wow, I want to be like you. Does that change your behavior? Does that change the way you talk about people? Does that change how you talk about yourself? It changes stuff. You guys get that? And so what our aspects are, what our hope is and our expectations is that you will become a mentor and it will change and transform your life, that you will be a person of influence. You know, here's my prayer. Haley, it's my prayer that 3 years from now, there's going to be a first-year student who comes in and you're going to talk to them as a fourth-year student and you're going to be the leader on this campus. And you know what? That first-year student is going to say, I want to be like that godly woman. I want to be the kind of person she is. That's what we're looking for. You guys get that? And that's for all of you. Don't blow that off. Don't blow that off. Okay, let's take a look at mentoring, the mentoring plan. And Haley's like, don't point at me again. Okay, all right. Here's the two educational models, guys. And this is gleaned from Life-Giving Mentoring by Tim Elmore. And look at what he says. While Americans have embraced the Greek model for learning, the Hebrew model is the cry of this new generation. Okay, the Greek model that you guys are used to, in fact, academia is from the Greek word, which, you know, that's what it's talking about. It's here's the idea of academia. Academia really means the teacher stands here, the students sit there, and they glean from the teacher. Okay? That's what you guys are used to. A teacher comes in, says, okay, we're going to talk about English today, or we're going to do this, or we're going to do government, geometry. I hated geometry. Chemistry, I blew up the teacher's head. Anyway, all of that stuff, you know, that's academics. That's a Greek model that you're used to. The Hebrew model is what we're talking about when we're talking about mentoring. It is more like a coach. It's relational. It's experiential. It is on-the-job training. In other words, it's walking with you. It's not standing and teaching you. It's walking with you in life. And so when you come across life, and all of a sudden it's like, hey, what would you do in a case like this? Or what do you think about this? I mean, you're gleaning from their experience. And so, guys, when you mentor somebody else, when you're mentoring a high school student, when you're mentoring a junior high, a middle school student somewhere, I mean, that's the idea. I mean, you're spending time with them. You're talking to them about life. That's the difference. See, that's where when we were talking to DCC 101, we talk about what happens in the classroom. That's academics. That's a Greek model. You know, Socrates stands and waxes eloquent. Plato, listen to my questions about life. Who am I? Great question. Answer it. I can't. Okay, so there's all of that. And then the Hebrew model is let's walk together down this road. Let's walk together and experience. So I love this little story here from Tim Elmore. It says, what mentoring is all about can be summarized by the little story of a boy and his dad walking down a rocky road one evening. After stumbling and falling to the ground, the boy looked up at his father and said, Dad, why don't you watch where I'm going? I thought it was funny. I believe we can say with great accuracy that is what mentoring is all about, watching where others are going. And so, guys, you know, if I'm mentoring Daniel, then that means that if I see some stuff going on in Daniel's life, then I go, hey, Daniel, you're about to fall. I mean, this is going to happen if we don't make some changes. So let's work on this. Let's work on this. Let's confront. Let's talk about this. And so that really is the concept of mentoring. And that's what we're going to do. Go ahead, Logan. Go ahead and shift to the next. Okay, the mission statement, educating and mentoring students to be people of influence. That's a huge part. Okay, go ahead, the next one. The premise is to effectively prepare college students to become and remain people of influence as they enter the workplace. An institution must adopt instructional strategies that utilize a multidimensional teaching philosophy with the intention of providing the broadest learning opportunities to the greatest number of students for the optimal results. Okay, what that means is that we, the college, want to put you in situations where you'll be mentored. Look, one of the benefits of the student benefits of the full-time faculty and staff, they get free lunches in the cafeteria. Except there's really method behind that. Is why would we want to give faculty and staff free lunches in the cafeteria? To interact with students. We want to get them there. Service days. On service days, the faculty and staff will be with you. Why? We want that interaction. Because there's two ways that mentoring can happen. One is a natural way. You know, it's just like you click. You get together and it's like, okay, we can relate to each other. The other is kind of like what you do every other Wednesday. It's kind of an assigned type thing. But even through the assigned thing, at least nobody slips through the cracks. Okay, the next one. Okay, this is the model that we're talking about, the difference between and the addition of the Hebrew model. Okay, go ahead. Oh, by the way, when I was in Uganda a couple of years ago, there's Livingstone International University, and they heard about what we were doing here all the way in Uganda, and they said, look, we want this at our university. And so they asked me and several students to go over. We did Mbale. I just like saying that. We went to Mbale, Uganda, and shared with the students there. I got to tell you, the students, when we were talking about the Greek model, that's it. They don't even ask questions. I mean, they sit there and they accept everything that the instructor has to say. They only speak when they're asked to speak. There's no real discussion. And when I was talking about the Hebrew model, they were like, we've never, ever heard of this. And finally, I could see the look in their eyes, and I was like, how many of you have ever even heard of this kind of concept? None of them. They were like, are we supposed to talk? I said, yeah. They initiated this mentoring about 2 years ago, and they said it is just amazing the responses of the students. In fact, it's just exploding over there. The institutional goals is to foster a campus-wide environment that encourages every person to help others on campus become Christ-like, provide formal mentoring programs. That's what we're doing. I'm just letting you know behind the scenes. We're opening up the curtains. Okay, to assist students to become who God designed them to be and provide extracurricular activities to enable students to practice life skills using their natural abilities and spiritual gifts in a safe environment. In other words, can you make mistakes here? Yeah. Yeah, this is the place to make mistakes. Even our ethical conduct issues is how can we restore a student? Okay, go to the next one. Next one. Yeah, so I've told you before, we're working on these five areas of your life because that includes all the areas of your life. Is growing spiritually, mentoring effectively, knowing internally, serving actively, and emerging relationally. That's the five areas. Okay, go ahead. Hey, and this... you guys might have seen this the very first time, but notice what in this situation, notice where we want you to go, like growing spiritually. You might be here, and in fact, I read some all of your DCC 101 reflections. Like some of you are going, I have never been around church very much. This is all new to me. Chapel. The music in chapel is kind of blowing me away because I've never sung these songs, etc. I can relate to that. Remember when I came here, man, I came straight out of the world, and I thought everybody wore these long robes and chanted, you know, Jesus. I mean, it was just a freaky thing for me. but, you know, what we want you to do in growing spiritually, notice we want you to go from maybe you're not practicing spiritual disciplines, not developing a spiritual portfolio, not attending church. We want you to get to the point where you're mastering, incorporate spiritual disciplines in life, review spiritual portfolio as a guide to growth, leads in a church. That's where we want you to go. So this rubric kind of gives you an idea, and if you want a copy of this, just let me know and we'll get it to you. But this is where we want you to move in those five areas. Now, some of you are way ahead of the game. That's great. Some of you don't have a clue, and that's okay. I can relate to that. Okay? How many of you have to look in the concordance to look stuff up in the Bible? You know, like a professor goes, okay, turn to John. Oh, crud, page. Yeah, okay. Maybe you have to do that? It's like, okay. And now, see, some of you guys, you know, he's like, dude, he just quoted 1 Thessalonians 2. We're going to talk about that later on, about how I got into the Bible. It happened here at DCC. Changed everything. But that's going to be in a couple of weeks. Anyway, so, I mean, this is where we want you to go. Okay, next slide. Go to the next one. Okay. And so the methodology is, first year, we're introducing you to mentoring. That's what we're doing, is introducing you to mentoring. And guys, let me just tell you, if you get the concept of mentoring and you become a mentor and you are mentored, it will be amazing how deep, how excellent your growth and influence will be. Second year, we mentioned the sophomores are going to be mentored by fourth-year students. That happened last week. That was a little bit of the chaos of getting those people together. They're all together. It's a good thing. And then third year is outside mentors. And that's what's happening this week. And then seniors mentor sophomores. That's where we want you to go. And then, guys, by the time you graduate, one of the things that we're working on right now, we're working on, when you graduate, how would it be that when you graduate, there's a mentor who's going to be there right with you and say, look, I'm going to help you walk through the next 4 years, getting, you know, working through a job, working through a ministry, working in your graduate program, stuff like that. So I mean, that's where we're going. Okay, back to this. I think that was the last one, right? Is there another one, Logan? Nope. Okay, good. All right. Hey, guys, you can read some of this stuff as far as the benefits of having a mentor. You can take a look. For example, on page 2, a mentor provides genuine growth and change. A mentor provides a model to follow. Hey, and by the way, Morgan Oyster Sands, she was working at a company, And the head of the company came in. They had a employee meeting. And random, the CEO comes in, or the head of the business comes in and says, "Hey, have any of you guys ever had any experience in mentoring?" And Morgan raised her hand. And he looked around, nobody else. And he said, "Really, you've had that experience?" "Well, yeah, at the college that I went to, they had this mentoring plan." And he said, "Well, would you be able to teach us about this mentoring plan?" Yeah, I think so, sure. So he said, "Okay, you're in charge now of this mentoring plan, and you're going to work this out with the company." Met with her afterwards and just said, "Hey, man, I'm so glad that you've had some mentoring background. In fact, we're going to give you a nice raise because you're going to be doing this, and we're really just delighted that you have this background." So she calls me up and she says, "Hey, you remember those notes that you handed out?" I said, "Yeah. Could I get another copy of those?" And so this is kind of some of the notes that we gave her. Okay, so this gives you some ideas from a variety of different places. Take a look at page 4. When you're mentoring somebody, some of the questions to ask yourself, you know, is what in what ways is this person like me? What are his or her needs as I see them? Do I respond to this person's needs or situation? Does he or she seem to want my help? Then you speak into their life. Another one, number 5, is this the right time for me to help this person? And if I were to put everything I know about this person into a story, how would that story read? And then, guys, why aren't people mentors? Well, they don't care. You know, they don't see their needs. Remember, the whole point is that their eyes are on themselves a lot of times. Okay? Let me ask you guys, what stops you, or what would stop you from mentoring somebody? Anybody? What would stop you from mentoring somebody? What? Okay, if they didn't want to be mentored, all right, what else? Yeah. Okay, yeah, it's a fear of failure. You know, maybe it's like, okay, what if I mess up? Then what's going to happen? Or, you know, I don't want that person to watch my life, okay? Why else? What? Time. Yeah, it's time. Time factor. But here's the deal, okay? Now, here at DCC, we've got some structured stuff, you know, especially first year. But after that, you know, if it is the mentee's agenda, you know, here's the misconception. This is kind of good. This is what the faculty and staff, when I ask them, "What's your biggest fear in mentoring?" They said, "Man, the time involved." Well, if it's the mentee's agenda, then do you have to meet? Okay, let's meet once a week for 2 hours just to mentor. No. I have several mentees. When they have a question, guess what? They'll call me. Can we meet? I've got a mentee who I worked with him all the time. He was at DCC. And then when he graduated from DCC, there are times, you know, we don't talk for, I don't know, 2 weeks, a month. Then he would give me a call. "Hey, what do you do in a situation like this?" "Well, let's get together." It's the same thing with my son. I mentor my children. And, you know, I don't talk to my son necessarily every week. His mother does, but I, you know, I'm like, okay, you know, if you need me, call me. And, you know, he'll call me up and say, "Hey, Dad, what do I do about this?" When he got laid off from work, and he called me up, and he was crying over the phone. He's like, "Dad, what do I do? I've got a wife, I've got a mortgage, what do I do?" Well, let's walk through that. Let's talk about it. So it's not, you know, and that's the biggest question that the faculty and staff had. How much time is this going to involve? Well, it's not like discipling. Discipling, right? Discipling's like, okay, Lindsay, we're going to get together every Wednesday from Tuesday morning, 6 a.m. That's not going to happen. And we're going to study through Ruth, right? I mean, that's discipling. See, and that takes much more time, really, than the mentoring. Mentoring is saying, I will be there when you call. You know? Okay, what other fears do you have when you think of mentoring somebody? Anybody? No fears? Maybe you're afraid of silence. Okay. Hey, on the last part, on the bottom of page 4, says questions to gather information. basically, this is the same thing that I gave your mentors, your group mentors. This is exactly what I gave them to say, hey, you know, in the first few sessions, just have the students share their story. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to practice a little bit. We've got right at 20 minutes before we have to be done. Okay? So I want you to pick a partner. Do it quickly. Pick a partner. You got them? Pick a partner. No, not three. Two people. It's got to be two people. You got them? Are there any odd numbers? Any odd numbers, raise your hand if you don't have a partner. Okay. All right. Now what you, Ron, you don't have a partner? Okay. Now you do. Okay. Now, are you guys, you got a partner? Bingo. Okay. Now, what you can do is very quietly, very quickly, spread out all over this room. Okay? Very quick. With your partner. Take your partner with you. Take your partner with you. Okay, quietly. Okay, everybody needs a partner. Yeah, you can stay there. Okay, shh. You need to have this paper with you. Okay, here's what's going to happen. Listen very carefully. Here's what's going to happen. Does everybody have a partner? Tequila, you got a partner? No, it can't be three. Is there another? Yeah, okay. Would you come, Bianca, would you come or get together? Yes. Okay, so guys, here's what you need to do. Okay, take those questions on page 4. And what I'd like for you to do is for about 7 minutes, one of you, we're going to practice this, one of you is going to be the mentor and the other one's going to be the mentee. The mentor is going to ask questions just to find out about the other person's life, okay? Their story. That's what we're talking about. Oh, sisters, you can't be together. You got to split up. You know each other's story. Nasty little humans, move away from each other. Okay, find somebody. Somebody want to switch with one of the sisters? Okay. Yeah, they're going, hey, we're going to coast. Tell me about your life. Okay. Hey, what this is basically what you're doing is you're just finding and listening to their story. That's what you're doing. Listen to their story. And here's what happens. With me, with guys like Scott Spees, others, this, and that's what I was talking about when the graduating senior was like, hey, you're asking some questions that are leading into a mentoring, but basically you're just finding out their story. And guess what, guys, when I get around you for very long, you know, I'll probably start asking some of these questions, and you'll go, yeah, you know, and you'll go, hey, you, I saw behind the curtain. I know what you're doing. Okay, and that's fine. That's fine. With that graduating senior, I said, yeah, that's what I'm doing. Is that okay? And he went, yeah, ask the questions. Okay, so these are just some questions to find out about the other person's life. Okay? So I'm going to give you about 7 minutes, and then we're going to switch, and the other person becomes the mentor and asks questions, and you become the mentee. All right? You ready? Go. Okay, guys, if I can have your attention just for a couple of minutes. Okay. What did you get? What did you think about that exercise? I mean, what did you think about that? A positive or negative? What do you think? Positive. Okay. How is it positive? Okay. You learned about the other person. What did you say, Chloe?
It was just really interesting.
It is very interesting. Yeah. Okay. How many of you enjoyed that? You enjoyed it. Okay. What? How many of you did not enjoy that? Okay. oh, it's because of JD? All right. What did you enjoy about it? You know, it's interesting listening to this people's stories. What else? Yeah.
Transparency.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, you were just stretching? Okay. Do what? Okay. Anybody else? What did you... Yeah. Yeah, it's very relational, finding out those things that you have in common that you relate to in your life, okay? How many of you is very hard to do that? It was hard, okay? Why was it hard? Because you're shy, okay? Why was it hard, Mia?
I don't want anybody to know about me.
Okay, well, did everybody know about you or is it just Kenya? Okay, so you have to trust that person, right? And when you trust that person to keep that information, you know, it becomes a very freeing thing, you know, that you actually have somebody who's listening to you. If they keep that confidence, that's the trust factor that we talked about. That's the trust factor. Okay, who else, you know, it was very hard for you? Okay, so the rest of you, it was pretty easy. Why was it easy? What does that mean? Yeah, okay, especially like Mia, you know, if you got to know Kenya better... Are you Kenya? Okay, good. You're shaking your head. I was like, oh, stink. I got Kenya, Keisha, Katie, Kara. I got them all mixed up. Okay, Carla, sorry. See what I'm saying? I get in trouble. But, you know, if you get to know that person, that's what I was saying. The most natural thing is with somebody that you feel natural with and that you can talk, you know, and actually somebody really listens. And look, even in a dating relationship, a lot of times, we're going to talk about this next week in DCC 101, but even in a dating relationship, a lot of times you're not really listening or communicating with each other. It's in a dating relationship, but it's not necessarily a mentoring relationship. Okay? What did you get out of this session? I want to hear from 5 people, and then we can go to lunch. See, there's the motivation. 5 people, what did you get out of this this session today? What did you get out of it? Yes. Do what? What it takes to be a mentor. That's 1. 2. Yeah. You what? There you go. Okay, what it takes to be a mentor. Yeah, Logan?
Mentoring does not have a strict schedule.
Yeah, it doesn't have a strict schedule. Okay, 2 more. Yes, Kenny. Yeah, you can be very open in your mentoring group. And look, it's not only that person sharing their story with you, but it's you sharing your story with them. Okay, 1 more. Yeah, Chloe. Okay, say it again. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you see it more and more as you invest in them. Guys, what we did in this session is really open up the curtain at the very beginning to say, hey, and you'll recognize it. Hey, here's what's happening to me right now, and it's an okay thing. That's what the faculty and staff are going to be working with you on. All right? Thanks. That's it.